Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. She's the infidel your imam warned you about, and there's no holding her back as she shares her opinions, insights, information, and outrage discussing the political entity known as Islam. We are at a critical juncture in our history, and if the threat of Islam is not faced up front, right now, then we will lose the freedoms of individuality, civic justice, and autonomy of thought we rightly enjoy, and instead see our values replaced with kinetic and civilizational jihad, Sharia law, and oppression permanently. Don't let the memory of our soldiers, past and present, go in vain. It is up to us to protect the legacy for which they fought so hard. We have an obligation to honor their memory today and for future generations. Join Kel Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern and Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. But leave your political correctness well away from her phone lines and chat room. And be warned, Kel takes no prisoners.
GoDamnMedia.com.
Changes.
We are justified in doing anything we can to survive.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger. I'm your host, Kel Fritzy. There's quite a few things I want to discuss with you tonight. And if you bear with me for a moment, though, I've got something going on here. Freya, what? What do you want? Get out of here. Mama's working. Come on. Sorry about this. I have a cat right here, and she's rather determined that she wants her food. So my apologies, ladies and gentlemen. Hardly professional. You know, one thing I am, though, is that I am one hell of a citizen journalist, and I don't hold back on what I want to discuss with you when it comes to the Red Fox Blogger. Absolutely not. Tonight, though, we are going to concentrate on something that always seems to escape the general population. You don't hear a whole lot about this on mainstream media. And, well, I've been talking about this for a number of years, and so have you, because you're informed, listeners. You're informed. But I was in another conversation with Bigfoot, and he sent me this article. And I thought, okay, we have to address this. It has to be done. And that is the issue of Islamists crossing the southern border into the United States. This has been going on for a number of years. It's not reported upon. Nobody's saying anything. I am now on this program because enough is absolutely enough. What's going on is that it's very easy for those traveling overseas to obtain visas into Mexico. And what they end up doing is that they adapt to the local climb, as it were. They learn the language. They learn the diction. They learn the behaviorisms, and they groom themselves. They're soft-groomed. And then they cross over into the United States. Well, we're getting fed up with it globally because this is a huge issue. And this is the loose border, the Mexican-American border. And this is by no stretch of the imagination any reflection on the American people, because the American people are, this is direct to the Obama administration in that you are not protecting North America. You are allowing that border to go about unfettered, and that we have nefarious creatures crawling across it. They swim across it. Now, this article, this is from the Examiner, and Jim Curry, he is a law enforcement examiner, and he wrote this article. Mexican cops capture Somali illegals headed for the U.S., and this is from this week. Mexican cops on Sunday apprehended 6 Somali illegal immigrants who claimed they were abandoned in the state of Chiapas, Mexico, by human traffickers. They paid to help sneak them into the United States, and this is according to La Prensa. Now, the Somali men, they claimed they had been wandering the region near Mexico's border with Guatemala for 8 days after being left to fend for themselves by the human traffickers, according to the Chiapas Attorney General's office. But according to Nicholas Gracio, an American law enforcement and border security veteran, Mexican authorities should be more suspicious and should validate the Somali story. Okay, what on earth is that? Do you think? It's a little-known fact that a Spanish-speaking Muslim community sprung up in Chiapas near the Guatemalan border. Now, according to several reports, there are about 500 to 600 Mexican Muslims residing in that area, and some are considered extremists, at least in their teachings, and this is what Graciel said. Okay, this is a really, really interesting, okay? Okay, we've got, okay, here come the hyphenated stuff. Mexican Muslims. Okay, and they want to go to the United States and blow things up. Oh. I just find this absolutely phenomenal. And Chiapas, Mexico's southernmost state, right next to Guatemala. That's right. But according to the Mexican news media, the Somali illegals, they were given food and water, as well as medical attention for their dehydration. They were also provided access to legal counsel. Oh, here we go again. Legal counsel. No, Bigfoot. Just call them M&Ms. Mexican Muslims, M&Ms. Hey, Bigfoot, can we pick out the brown M&Ms? Or should we have green for illegal M&Ms? Oh, God. You know what, folks? I could carry on like this all night because this is, it is just absolutely pathetic in that the United States government, and meaning the Obama government, is not taking control of their own border, and that these people are swimming across, and they're entering the United States. But they're also, the more ambitious ones, they're swimming to Canada, and we're getting a little full up here. London, Ontario, Canada is kind of full right now, and we're kind of getting out of the the situation in which that we want to have these people here because we can't decipher them. Bigfoot, you can't pick up the brown M&Ms. That would be racist. This is a loosey-goosey show for the most part tonight, and my apologies because I read this article probably like three times, and it was like, I'm giving my head a shake. I'm going, is this for real? Is this really going on? But yeah, Mexican officials, they said on Sunday that military troops and National Immigration Ministry agents detained 1,500 illegal aliens, the majority of them Guatemalans. And that was last month, guys. That was last month. All right? Now, I have a quote verbatim here for you. Well, illegal immigrants in the United States have held huge rallies in the U.S. without any consequences. The thousands and thousands of undocumented Central Americans in Mexico endure their inhumane treatment in silent fear. In fact, Mexico's constitution prohibits non-citizens from participating in protests or other public demonstrations against the Mexican government. My apologies. Now, this is according to the Examiner news story. I have another quote. U.S. Homeland Security Department directorates should be alerted by the State Department about these six Somalis just in case they are released by the Mexicans and they decide to again attempt entering the United States illegally. And this is, of course, from former Captain Graciel. What are we going to do? Guatemalans, Muslim, okay, you know what? I better slow it down. Muslim Mexicans. We're dealing with the Guatemalans. Oh, gee. Muslim Guatemalans. Soon to be Muslim Americans. That's where I was going with this. Good grief. In a few moments, I'm going to read you how illegals are treated within Mexico. I'll do that in a moment. But right now, I'm going to stick with this story because it fills my boot, is what it does. This is absolutely unbelievable in that they swim across and they enter the United States illegally, but they're granted all the rights and considerations as what a government would do, a westernized government would do. They are granted everything ever needed to them, but when they get here, what do they really want by us? What do they hope to accomplish? Why, for example, are other entities swimming across the Atlantic Ocean to get to Mexico, to get into the United States, and thus into Canada? Why are they flying into territories that seem like soft targets in which they can infiltrate their main target, and that, of course, would be Western democracies? So this is rather interesting to me. And I was thinking to myself, what are we to do? It's a good question. What are we to do? Well, we shut down the border. How do we do that? That is another entity question upon itself, because the thing is that if we start getting heavy-handed with these people, they're going to go to the United Nations, or they're going to start applying to the human rights tribunals, and they're going to talk about being ill-treated. We're seeing cases like that with detainees from Guantanamo Bay, for example. They are using our very laws against us. But what are we to do? Like, shut down the border? No, because that would be seen as a violation of human rights code. But can we tighten the border? Absolutely. Yes, we can. Of course we can. This is absolute insanity in that these people come over here via Mexico. They enter the United States. They do not become American citizens. They swim up to Canada, some of them. They do not become Canadian citizens. They do not engage in cohesiveness and that they want to assimilate and they're looking for a better life. No. These are Muslims swimming across that border, and they're here to create havoc. I should clarify something. Have a beef with Muslims because, you know, a lot of them, they just want to get along and they want to just carry on. But I have a problem with the Islamists. And the Islamists are the ones who want to enter our Western countries and create the havoc. I have a problem with that. And I have a problem that nobody will address this. Like, you know what? This article, this is from the Examiner, and the Examiner is a citizen journalist site. And you're not going to read about this in, say, I don't know, the New York Times, or you're not going to read about it in the LA Times. You're not going to read about it in the National Post. No. This is citizen journalism exposing to you, the people, what is going on. And I'm going to put the link in the chat room for this article. There you are. It is absolutely flabbergasting, though, in that going on. And our governments are doing nothing about it. And I don't mean the United States government. I mean Canada. I mean in the UK. Our governments are aware of this. Certainly, they must have a dossier on their desk. Ever since 9/11 in 2001, every government agency in the West has a file on terrorism, extremism. Surely, this sort of thing also would cross their desk, in which they have to pay attention. But do they? I don't read anything about it. I get my news from citizen journalism. And this article that I posted in the chat room, it's chock full of links that you can go to. Because the author of this article, Jim Curry, he is not blowing sunshine, people. He is relating this article. You can click on pretty much every paragraph where he has everything to back up what he is reporting to you. This is why I like this gentleman. This is why I like Jim Curry. But I am telling you, what is it going to take until our respective governments start waking up and realizing that we have a hell of a threat out here? I was doing a little bit of research, and I came across this article. This is actually from Reuters, so I found this rather surprising. But what happens is that when they cross the border, very interesting things. They like to kill infidels. And I'm going to switch gears for a sec, but I'm going to take you to Kenya for a second. I had talked about the Somalis crossing the Mexican U.S. border. Well, let's go to Kenya and see what the Somalis are up to. This is from a year ago, but it's timely. I just want to give you edification. Kenya says Somali Islamists kill six in cross-border raid. Okay? Four members of Kenya's police force and two civilians were killed in an ambush last year by suspected Somali Islamist militants near the Somali border. Now, two suspected members of Somalia's Al-Shahab, or actually, if you want the proper pronunciation, I can arrange that for you. Al-Shabaab. This is a group, these two suspected members of Al-Shabaab, they were killed in the fighting in Garissa County. And this is from Commissioner Rashid Kator. This clash, it occurred near Liboi, a Kenyan town in the Garissa region about 15 kilometers from the border, and that's about 10 miles. Al-Shabaab, several raids targeting police and others in the border area in the past, and in September of 2013, its militants attacked a Nairobi shopping mall. Hello? You guys know exactly where I'm going with this. Al-Shabaab, a Somali Islamic militant group. That's right. They're the ones who stormed Big Mall in Kenya. And now they want to swim across the Mexican-U.S. border, coming to a town near you. And they are feigning that they're victims. They just want a better life. These are Somalians. Somalians are the worst of the worst. You get these people in your country looking for a whole lot of trouble. I thought I would read that one article there and explain to you exactly. Like, Kenya is catching these people. They are dangerous. I do not want to see Al-Shabaab in North America. Enough is enough of this. I am truly fed up, and I know. I can get my truncheon out and do outrage all bloody day. I usually do, because I'm usually banging my head on my desk anyway when these stories cross my desk. One thing I will not tolerate is these incidences going totally unfettered, in that it is that easy to get into the United States. Now, I want you folks to scroll up, and I want you to take a look at the photos that I put in the show highlights, about the show highlights. And I want you to take a look at all of those flags, and you're going to notice one thing in particular. You're going to notice the American flag, the British flag, the Australian flag, but you're going to notice that beside each one is the Canadian flag. You know why? Because I stand in solidarity with my brothers and sisters across the West in battling the scourge. This is the latest. These characters from Somalia crossing into the United States from Mexico this week. People say, oh, well, you know, they're looking for a life. No, they're not. They're looking to destroy. They are foot soldiers. They are Islamic foot soldiers, and they're being carried forth on a mission. I don't want to talk about the caliphate. I have smart listeners. You guys know all about the caliphate from the Quran. They're here to establish, is what they're here to do. And it really upsets me, as it should you, in that our governments are not doing anything about it. So I put that link in the chat room for you folks. But, you know, there are so many things that I could cover in terms of what they're up to. You know, trying to understand the Islamic threat. Why is it that we cannot? Why is it that it takes citizen journalists like Jim Curry, myself, Holder, Jeff, No Way 90, RZ, Terry O'Brien. I could rhyme off name after name after name after name of citizen journalists that are saying, look, this is what's going on, and our governments are not listening to us. There was a great book written by John Gondolo, and it's called Raising Jihad. Raising a Jihad Generation. It's the first book of its kind to examine the history, writing, and practical implementation of the Muslim Brotherhood's strategic plan to overthrow the United States and the impact of the plan on a local level on the security of every American. This book, it focuses on tools for professionals in the law enforcement, intelligence, and military communities who need to understand that the Muslim Brotherhood in America prepares the ground for, supports, and facilitates jihad operations. Now, once the information provided in this handbook that has been written by John Gondolo, Raising a Jihad, Raising a Jihadi, once it's understood, it's necessary. It gives security intelligence professionals a factual basis to address the enemy. It changes what constitutes reasonable suspicion, probable cause, and transform how this threat is approached and addresses it. It is our hope that we study and learn from this content. And third and final, because three times I'm lucky and three times I'm out. Raising a Jihadi by John Gondolo. If you can get your hands on that book, try to read it, because it does talk about understanding and identifying jihadi networks in the United States. That is a focal. It talks of, but this talks about global, and this can translate very easily into Canada, England, Australia, New Zealand, the Netherlands, everywhere. I just ordered my copy. I've not read it yet, but believe me, when I do, I will give you a full book report. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to put that link in the chat room for everybody right now. I love typing with one hand. But we have to start doing our homework. We have to start understanding exactly what is being thrust upon us within the Islamic realm. We have to understand that this little group of Somalis caught last week is, they're not hapless, and they're just looking for a better life. No, these are foot soldiers, okay? And they're crossing into the United States. And they branch out. They come into Canada. It is, it's really quite unbelievable, the audacity in which these people engage. I come across so many stories all the time, and that makes you want to shake your head. It makes you want to think, what on earth is going on here? Why are our governments not paying attention to us? And Eric Kyle, yeah, I bet they were aged between 18 and 30. And Eric, you win a prize. Exactly. Young men. Mm-hmm. Why does it take people like me to bring this issue to you? Where is our government? Where are our website warnings, the government website warnings about this sort of thing? Like, why is it that Homeland Security is not apprising us that we have an issue with the southern border? Why is CSIS not apprising us here in Canada? Well, actually, CSIS did. And CSIS, for your edification, that is the Canadian Security Intelligence Service. Actually, CSIS does a little better job than Homeland Security, but look who is leading Homeland Security in the United States, right? And when you really want to understand about Homeland Security, you have to look at the holder of the office. And I have an article here, and I'm typing with one hand, so please forgive me if I sound a little slow tonight. It's just that when you type with one hand, it takes a little more to get things up. But who is the Homeland Security? Who's in charge of that? Right? Eric Holder. By the way, of whom apparently had a health issue this week. I find that rather interesting, in that Eric Holder had a health issue, and that actually Eric Holder, yeah, Homeland Security Attorney General, he had a health issue this week. I don't know if this is going to be his outer from holding his place within Obama's government. I have no idea what's going to go on with that. But it's interesting that Eric Holder, the heat is really hitting him. Benghazi is hitting him. The mess in the Middle East is hitting him. Fast and Furious is hitting him. And he's looking for an outer. So whether Eric Holder returns is anybody's guess, because he might bow out due to health issues. I cannot return. I want to clarify something. I mistook Eric Holder as being Homeland Security. He is the United States Attorney General. The Homeland Security is Jay Johnson. So my apologies to my listeners, but I usually catch myself, and I usually catch up. But the thing is, all the same, is that they are inept. They are absolutely inept. And these are the people protecting our borders, okay? I've had it, this sort of behaviorism. Who's going to protect our children at night? Who is going to protect our neighborhoods? Who is going to protect our interests? Why is it that our interests are not being protected? And we bring you back full circle in which borders are being violated. Totally violated. This is your country, people. This belongs to you, and it belongs to me. Nobody has a right to take away our heritage, whether it be by thief, stealth, underpinnings of nefarious activity. Nobody has a right to take that away from us. These are our borders. These are our countries. People like Eric Holder has no right to dictate what we are to swallow. Nobody has a right. The United States, they have a constitution. They have a constitution in which the United States of America will be protected by those enemies from without and from within. A lot of people think that, well, what exactly does that mean? What it means is that the Constitution was written by the people for the people in the United States. And no man should put asunder. No man should even consider tearing that apart. No one. But what we're seeing in the United States is absolutely unbelievable. And I know that I go on a bit, and sometimes I am at a loss for words as to what to say to you. And I read stories like this, though, and I know bloody well that there is a huge problem. And within our government and without, Somalians crossing the U.S.-Mexican border. I spoke with, you know, I'm to hell with it. I'm throwing my script away. I'm just going to speak with you. Speak with a lot of people that engage in U.S. politics. I engage myself in U.S. politics because it's my vested interest. Because first of all, as you all know, I reside in Canada. I'm a Canadian. But the United States is my best friend. And anything that happens to the United States, it affects me. Okay? So I talk to a lot of people out of the United States. I interview people out of the United States. I am very much interested in what happens in the United States because as the United States falls, so does the rest of us. And that's what I am here to do, is prevent that, because I'm not going to see that. One person in particular I spoke with, of course, is Wild Bill for America. And he had a very good proposal as to what to do in the United States. Tea Team parties. The Tea Party. You break it down into divisions. And you get together with your neighbors. And you act locally. You get local, you get busy. One locality, another locality, another locality, until that cohesiveness resonating with your government. One bite of the elephant, as my co-host Tim would say, one bite of the elephant. I want to play something for you. Tea Teams, the Tea Party of the United States of America. I want to thank, of course, Stanger for helping me put this together. But this is what we need to do. We have to get grassroots again. We have to get absolutely grassroots. We have to get our teams together. We have to form. And we have to say, no, we're not taking this anymore. The hell with it. Enough is absolutely enough. We're not putting up with people swimming across our borders who want to blow us up and kill us. We don't want to put up with people getting through that porous border who want to disrupt our communities. No, we're not putting up with it anymore.
The Tea Party movement spontaneously formed in 2009 from the reaction of the American people to fiscally irresponsible actions of the federal government, misguided stimulus spending, bailouts, and takeovers of private industry. Within the first few weeks of the movement, Tea Party patriots formed to support the millions of Americans seeking to improve our great nation through renewed support for fiscal responsibility, constitutionally limited government, and free market economic policies. Tea Party Patriots is a national grassroots organization that exists to serve and support the thousands of local organizations and millions of grassroots patriots throughout our nation. We provide logistical, educational, networking, and other support to thousands of community-based Tea Party groups around the country. Tea Party Patriots state and national coordinators serve your local grassroots groups, support you with the tools and technology you need to address your local issues, listen to your voices, gather your ideas, and together help shape the overall direction of our national movement. Working in a truly grassroots fashion, we have already changed the political landscape of America. Tea Party Patriots is 100% grassroots, 100% of the time. Tea Party Patriots is made up of and funded by millions of regular Americans just like you who believe there is a better way forward for America. We are a non-profit 501c4 organization that does not support any political party, nor do we endorse candidates. If you support fiscal responsibility, constitutionally limited government, and free market economic policies, we encourage you to sign up for Tea Party Patriots today. Our mission and our core principles. The Tea Party Patriots' mission is to restore America's founding principles of fiscal responsibility, constitutionally limited government, and free market economics.
Teams, grassroots. I have a wonderful person in my chat room, and that is Chockful. And they mentioned that they belong to the Tea Party division in New York State for a number of years. And see, when I see people like that, it gives me hope. Now, the Tea Party, Chockful is informing me, is concentrating on fiscal issues. And, of course, absolutely, of course, I certainly understand that because, holy smokes, it's out of control in the United States. The reason why I speak about the United States and what's happening to my cousins is because it affects me. And I don't mean it affects me economically or socially or anything. No, it affects me in my heart because nobody goes near my cousins in the United States. Nobody, because these are my people. This is my cousin country. You go near the United States, you go through me. I'm just a little peon here in Canada, but I have a big voice, and I use it quite effectively. If you even go near my cousins, you'll have to deal with me as well, because I've had it. And this issue with the border crossings, these Somalians coming in, and all they want to do is harm the peoples of the United States of America, bloody way. Not on my watch. I wanted to thank everybody for being here. Iggy Mom, Egador, Bigfoot, Cal Living, Cap, Chockful, Dodgy Dave, Eric. Thank you, guests, for being here. Hold Your Awakens and Vorpal Bite. And, of course, I always thank my sweet Sue from New Mexico, who is actually joining me on the line right now. Hi, Sue.
Hey, hi, Kel. You know, this is a very important show, and I'll try to be very short, but I want to give you a history. I live in a border state, and I'm surrounded by what is happening. Now, I don't know if your listeners know that the 9/11 bombers, you know, of the World Trade Center, they came in through the U.S.-Mexico border.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been going for a long time. And in Guatemala and the Mexican border right there, a long time ago, the Islamists established a community of Islamists, and now they have second-generation Islamists who have, you know, they know the language, everything, so they can very easily pass as Mexicans. So those are the real dangerous people. And the history is, you know, in the drug wars in Mexico have been going on for a long, long time. That around 2000, Hamas established itself, and they partnered with the drug cartels, and the drug cartels were helping them do money laundering to send back to Iraq and Afghanistan and the Mideast. When this started to happen, that is when the drug cartels started to change. You now see the drug cartels have picked up the Islamic way as your beheadings, you know, body mutilations, everything. They did not do this before Hamas. Now, where they're coming through, there are very intricate tunnels that are between the U.S.-Mexico borders. These tunnels are exactly like the tunnels that you find back in the Mideast. Now what Hamas has done is they're starting to come over and have cells. And you're right. The way that they come up through the interstate. They go into Alabama, is a big place, and it goes all the way up and into Canada. So they are crossing the border into Canada. And for anybody who is interested in this, go to YouTube, put in search U.S. Mexico border, and if you want to see the latest, put in 2014. It will blow your mind with everything that comes up, and you can actually see it. That just go to YouTube and put in that search. You're going to see things that are going to blow your mind, and these are actual videos, and you cannot deny a video. It's there with your own eyes. And then
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Google also U.S. Mexico border news, and you'll start getting into the places you want to go is the local newspapers. The local newspapers on the border, there's some on the Mexico side of the border, but the journalists get beheaded pretty quick, so you'll find them there. There have been IEDs found in Texas on the northern, you know, on the U.S. border, buried. So they've already put IEDs, and they happen to find them. There are special ops that are going up into the mountains, volunteering, trying to help the Border Patrol. But Obama has totally tied the hands of ICE. They cannot hold these people. They are, you know, let loose. It doesn't matter what they have done with the state, you know, the federal parks that are all along the border. And Obama's trying to increase this. They will not allow the Border Patrol to go onto these state parks to try to stop this because of the EPA. Yet, go and look at some of these videos and see what the illegal aliens are doing to these federal parks. Anyway, I got to get off. I can't breathe too much, but I just wanted to let people know, and please, please go to YouTube, search it, and it's there. It's all there. Thank you, Kel.
Sue, thank you so very much, and we are so relieved to hear your voice. You can't see the chat room, but everybody is waving their hand frantically to say hello to you.
Oh, hello to everyone. And I just love this show, and I love everybody in the chat. And thank you so much for doing this show. But I'm losing my voice, so I'm going to sign off.
I am going to let you go, and I will speak with you a little later on. And Sue, thank you so very much. Your input, like, I just put a link in the chat room for everybody. So Sue, thank you so very much again.
Okay, love you, Cal. And again,
love
happy
you,
anniversary.
Oh, yes. Thanks, Sue. And ladies and gentlemen, that was Sue from New Mexico. And yes, if you want to have a discussion about the tribulations of the Mexican-U.S. border, Sue is one that you should speak with. I have had conversations with this lady in the past. She is living a nightmare. She is literally living on a trail in which the illegals cross. We have heard a lot of stories in the past about what the illegals are capable of doing. They shoot farmers, and they shoot their dogs. And I cannot remember the name of the gentleman in particular, but believe me, if I did a quick Google search, because believe me, I pretend to be smart. I just play a smart person on the radio, but I'm not. Google is my best friend when I do this show, because you never know when things are going to change. But Sue, in discussing what she was talking about the atrocities that actually occur, is that it's overwhelming. And actually, I believe that this didn't take a place too long ago in Arizona. And that this farmer, he was shot in his truck because he was doing what any good red-blooded American would do. And that was protecting his interests and protecting his lands, right? But this is what they do. They come over and they kill us. And I'm sorry if I sound I'm sorry if I sound like I'm being an alarmist. I don't think I am. I don't think I am at all. Not by a long shot. Because they do come over here and they create havoc that they want to disrupt. And I like what Chockful said in the chat room a little while back, is that they come over and not only do they create mischief, and not only do they disrupt the Constitution, but they bring over their anchor babies. They come over here, and I'm not, you know what? I'm not even speaking about Mexicans, Mexican illegals. I'm not speaking about the Mexican illegals. That's another topic altogether. I'm talking about the ones that sneak across the border from the Middle East. And they do come over, and they have their anchor babies. And they get those, eventually, they get those dual citizenship passports. Or see, we're just a way to... Sorry about that. We're just way too generous when it comes to dealing with those from outside of the United States and Canada and Australia and England. They will take an inch, right? We'll give them an inch. And then they want the mile. Yeah. And while I was typing with one hand, I brought up that article. Yeah. His name was Robert Krenz. He was an Arizona rancher. He was a fixture in the community, and he was brutally murdered by alleged illegal immigrants. The Arizona-Mexico border rancher, Robert Krenz, met a cruel end after he went out in the middle of the night to investigate strange noises. They killed him. And they killed his dog. And they scampered back towards the Mexican border. Why on earth would you want to kill somebody like that? Why? I just don't understand. I don't understand the world in which we live in some days, but they're here, and we have to deal with them. And Chalk, thanks for being here. Have a great night. Holder, thanks for being here as well. Thank you, guys. And I'll catch you guys on the dial down the road. Iggy Mum, thank you as well. And fantastic stuff. Holy smokes. I just noticed the time. We are at the top of the hour. And I have to take a break. I'm going to wrap up the show because I'm really, really excited about getting to RC's place a little later on. He's got quite the show going on tonight. His show is starting up momentarily, but I'm going to be over there as soon as I wrap up mine. But, yes, I do have to do something, and I have to acknowledge that, yes, today I married my husband 25 years ago today. And, well, there you go. I have to also share something. He bought me the most beautiful, beautiful silver anniversary wedding present, and I'm just reaching across my desk to bring it over. I wish that I had a host cam that you could see it. It's just gorgeous. I do not like yellow gold. I love white gold. And so he bought me this most beautiful pendant. It's a dolphin encrusted with diamonds, and the dolphin's eye is a sapphire. And it's made of black gold, which I had never heard of before. I said, how much did this cost? He said, you don't want to know. Well, you know, 25 years. When you've been married to somebody for 25 years, the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, how much did that cost? Never mind. But it's beautiful, and it's on a 24-carat silver. Well, I don't know how they gauge silver. In gold, it would be 24 karat, but this one, it's on a silver chain, so that's probably, I don't know. It doesn't matter. All I care about is that it's really, really, really pretty, and I love it. And, of course, I got my flowers, and I got my card, and we are going out to the Keg, my favorite steakhouse in the whole wide world, for supper tomorrow night. We were going to go out tonight, but I said, no, I have a show to do. Another thing, when you're married for 25 years, it's like, nah, can we hold it off? Come on. So that's what we're doing tomorrow night. We are going out to my favorite restaurant for supper. But I just wanted to share that because it's not too often that you can share that you've been married to the same person for 25 years and still find an awe in you. My husband is my awe. He's my muse. He never ceases to amaze me in everything he does, every single day. He crosses a room and my eyes follow him. He does something phenomenal. And I literally can, my knees will water. My husband has never, ever let me down, ever. He's never disappointed me. I am blessed in that I married a wonderful man. And I'm looking at this pendant on the necklace that he gave to me. And it's all silver because it's our silver anniversary. But what I want to do, I'm going to take that break and just say to my husband, I love you. Always will. I'm going to play something special. I'm going to play our wedding song from 25 years ago. And I'll see everybody back here in 5 minutes.
Right.
Welcome back to the Red Fox Blogger. And people in the chat room are wondering who performed that song. It's a band called Foot in Cold Water, Make Me Do Anything You Want. If you go to YouTube and just Google that, it'll come right up for you. And, yes, that was our wedding song. And I still remember that day. Yeah. 25 years. It just seems like yesterday. I remember when I met my husband, and he had this very long, black, shaggy hair do going on. And now, of course, he's in his 50s, and he looks a little different. But you know what? That man will always leave me in a state of awe. And so, Mike, happy anniversary. I'm going to put something, I put a link in the chat room, actually, and I want to put something to you. And, of course, this is news from Canada, and this is from the Refugee Resettlement Watch. And Canada officially acknowledges that after 1948, Jews were expelled from their homes throughout the Middle East. I love the way that Anne of Refugee Resettlement Watch writes, because I'm going to read what she says in her ad libs verbatim, because Anne is fantastic at Refugee Resettlement Watch. And believe me, if that is not a site that you have visited, please do, because Anne is protecting the American interests, the Canadian interests, and the Western interests. But what she says here: next time you hear the Palestinians and their supporters whining, remember hundreds of thousands of Jews lost their ancestral homes when forced to leave Arab countries, and they aren't demanding any right of return. And by the way, has the U.S., i.e., the Obama administration, officially recognized this report? This is from the Jerusalem Post. Canada, early on Tuesday, accepted the recommendation of the House of Commons Standing Committee on Foreign Affairs and International Development that Canada officially recognizes the experience of Jewish refugees who were displaced from the states in the Middle East and North Africa after 1948. Now, this recognition came following the committee's November 2013 report on recognizing Jewish refugees from the Middle East and North Africa. The committee learned of the discrimination and hardship faced by Jewish people living in the Middle East and North Africa in the 20th century, and this is according to the report. Further, said this report, almost all of the Jews in Algeria, Egypt, Iraq, Lebanon, Libya, Morocco, Syria, Tunisia, and Yemen eventually left their homes and their communities, which had existed in the Middle East and North Africa for centuries. Next, the report said that the countries in question had 856,000 Jews before 1948, 76,000 in 1968, and by 2012, there were only 4,315. CEJA chairman, his name is David Kosinski, he responded to the news saying, "Today's decision brings Canada one step closer to recognizing the otherwise forgotten persecution of Jewish minorities across the Middle East." And he continued, "This is not only a matter of ensuring historical accuracy. Once implemented, it will correct a fundamental imbalance in a Canadian policy that acknowledges Arab refugees but makes no mention of Jewish refugees resulting from the Arab-Israeli conflict." And so I think that this is a banner day for Canada. I am so proud to be, again, I'm so proud to be a Canadian. I am so proud that Canada and that the House of Commons Standing Committee on Foreign Affairs and International Development recognized this atrocity, because that is exactly what it was. They're not demanding anything. What really annoys me, folks, is these Palestinians that race around all over the bloody place, and they're demanding their homeland. Well, they were never ever they were never ever qualified for one, because Palestinians never had a homeland to begin with, okay? The Palestinians, I get myself so excited. The Palestinians never had a homeland. They are Jordan's rejects. So when they stand up and they say, "Oh, well, we want our West Bank and this and that and the other thing," it's like, give me a break, because you're crying me a river. You have no claim on any land, whereas the Jewish peoples do. You expelled the Jewish peoples from all of these countries. Look at the population levels right now. Oh, my God, from 856,000 to 4,000 and change. You want to talk about discrimination? You want to talk about the Yemenite Jews en route from Aden to Israel during the magic carpet operation from 1949 to 1950? Are you kidding me? Stop it. That's enough. But you know what? Time is running out. I'm down to my last 15 minutes here. I want to share with you, though, some other... The thing is that when I get talking, I don't shut up, okay? But I do want to share with you some programming notes, and that, as you know, I am a fellow host with Tim Burton, and he is Cat Strangler 101. On Monday, you can hear us at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But for our UK listeners, please take note. In North America, our clocks go ahead Sunday morning, 2 a.m. Sunday morning. Our clocks move ahead, okay? The UK, you do not catch up until March 30th. So what you're going to experience is that our show is going to be an hour earlier. for you. So Tim and myself, we will be on 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We are moving from Eastern Standard into Eastern Daylight. To you in the U.K., we will be there at 2 p.m., okay, until you catch up on March 30th. Now, for the North American listeners, and this is Jeff Mitchell's program, the EDL Radio Show, same deal. But in North America, Jeff will be on an hour later, and he will be on 4:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and I'm just using that as a template. So just be mindful that the time changes are going to differ, but everything will be back on scale March 30th, okay, where we all go back to 3:30 p.m., for example, in my time zone, and, of course, Kel and Tim will be back to 3 p.m., or 3:30 p.m., Jeff, and 3 p.m., Kel and Tim. So we'll everything will be settled by March 30th. But I also do want to remind you is that I am the producer for Restore Australia with Mike Holt. They do not change their clock, but we do. So if you listen to Mike Holt of Restore Australia in North America and in the UK, the show will be an hour later because Mike Holt doesn't change his clocks. And I have to blame Tim for that. Tim sent Mike a wonky clock. But Mike Holt's show, it will be 4 p.m. in my time zone, Eastern Daylight Time. I just want you folks to be apprised of that. And I also want to apprise you that Tim and myself, we are the fellow hosts at Radio Jihad Network, and that we are the freedom-loving infidels. You can hear that Tuesday evenings at 6 p.m. Starting this Tuesday, Eastern Daylight Time. And our guest is going to be Sunny England. Sunny England is very, very vocal within the English Defense League movement. Sunny is a young man. We are going to be discussing how do we see the UK in 20 years. So please try to join us for that. And, boy, I have all sorts of things I can relate to you. I'm all over the place, but, oh, my goodness, I just love doing this. I want to share with you as well that Tim and myself, we have quite a few exciting programming notes going on. So does Jeff Mitchell of EDL Radio, and so does everybody at Radio Jihad Network. This is a rather exciting site, and I am so proud to be a part of it because what it means for me is that you can hear seven shows 7 days a week at the Radio Jihad Network. On Monday, you have the Vito Esposito show at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. On Tuesday, the Freedom-Loving Infidels, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. On Wednesday, Freedom Quest, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. On Thursday, you have the Gadi Edelman Show, American Akbar, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. On Friday, at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, you have Dr. Mark Christian and Corey Miller. And on Saturday, at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, you have Revealing the Truth About Islam, and that is, of course, is with Usama Yaktok. On Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you have the Uncle Dave Show. Seven shows on Radio Jihad Network, 7 days a week. I really do hope that you tune in and listen to each and every one of these programs because we have voices and we have something to say to you. But on that note, I am out of here. I want to go over to this guy's place. Hang on. Where did he go? This guy always jumps on me. Come on. Where'd you go? Here he is.
The Reactionary Speak radio program.
Do I really look like a guy with a plan?
You know what I am? I'm a dog chasing cars. I wouldn't know what to do with one if I caught it.
The Reactionary Speak radio program.
I try to show the schemers how pathetic their attempts to control things really are.
The Reactionary Speak radio program.
Introduce a little anarchy. Upset the established order, and everything becomes chaos. I'm an agent of chaos. Oh, you know the thing about chaos? It's fear.
Friday night, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, here on BTR.
I will ask this once again. Is there no way out?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Again, I'm saying, is there no way out?
And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives.
I did not ask you about your existence. I know about your existence. I know about the history. I know about the truth. I teach the history and I teach the truth. And again, I will ask you, is there no way out?
You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about in parties. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
If I didn't want the truth, I wouldn't be asking you for the truth. I wouldn't be asking for your opinion. I don't care about what wall you sit on because Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall and when he fell, he was done. So now I will ask you this one last time. Is there no way out?
Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
And seeing that our officials refuse to give us the answers, they refuse to give us the truth, they refuse to tell us what we deserve as Americans, well then you can find that truth and you can find the answers every Saturday night, Blog Talk Radio, Reactionary Speech Radio Network at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with the show, Is There No Way Out?
And, of course, that is No Way 90, also heard on the Reactionary Speaks Network at 7 p.m. on Saturday evenings. And I just had to throw that in there because not only am I grateful to Reactionary, but I'm grateful to No Way. Reactionary on Fridays, No Way on Saturdays, in that they support our movements. They are supporting our counter-jihadist movements, and they support our shows as well. It's not because it's a tit-for-tat. It's because I respect these men. I respect what they do. I respect what they do for the American people. I respect what they do for everybody globally, in that they are citizen journalists. They're well-spoken, well-read, and very well-informed. And I'm very proud to be part of that network as well. And you know what? If we don't get the word out, if we don't do it now, what's going to happen down the road? We have to get the word, because if we don't, our children will never forgive us. We have to ensure that our future is secure. And this is what people like Jeff Mitchell does. This is what people like Tim Burton does. This is what people like Kel Fritzy does. Reactionaries, No Way, Holger Awakens, Terry O'Brien, Jimmy C. Zultz, all these people that get the word out there, I could rhyme off. I could sit here, you know what, I could do a two-hour show and just rhyme off all of these fine people that are taking it upon themselves, and they're taking the words to the street, and they're bringing it to you, and they are keeping it honest, and they are giving you the straight goods, because we would never settle for any less. Because our listeners are the best listeners. They're the smartest listeners, and they know where they're finding the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, though, I'm off to Reactionary's place. Guys, I was a little bit all over the map tonight, but that's okay. I think I managed to survive. It's really, really difficult. I got too used to Tim being here. And so when he's not, it's kind of noticed. That's okay. Tim is Tim's across the pond sawing logs, but you'll hear us both together on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Guys, I want to thank you so much for being here. I really want to thank Sue from New Mexico for calling in. I call her my sweet Sue. Guys, we will see you on Monday at RSV, but of course, we will see you Sunday at EVL Radio with Jeff. Have a wonderful evening. Have a wonderful weekend. And think of me while I'm chowing down on steak at the Keg tomorrow night. Okay, guys, have a great night. Bye-bye.